Welcome to Take a Wonder with Shebs, the show that features some of the biggest travel bloggers, TV and radio personalities, and journalists from all around the world. Each show aims to take my guest on a wonder and uncover topics that may not be discussed on their platforms or in the media, whether that's the state of travel blogging and journalism as it is today, or whether there's enough diversity within the industry. Perhaps what impact technology and social media have had on content creation, or in general the impact of current affairs on the industry. I also try and find out the journey behind each individual's success, as this is more important to me than the actual travel. My guest at this point is professor and YouTube sensation from Walter's World, Mark Walters. Mark, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on. How are you and where in the world are you currently?
At home now, but I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you on because I've been looking forward to chatting with you because there's a lot of stuff that I want to cover and we don't have much time, but we'll dig right into it. The reason why I brought you on really, which is about Walter's World, brief statement of who you are really and how you sort of got to where you are today.
I'm Mark Walters. I run the Walter's World Travel Channel on YouTube. Basically, we try to give the most honest advice on travel possible because we want everyone to have the best time possible when they travel. And if all you see is the good stuff, you're not prepared for the bad stuff that could happen. And so many people like let their vacation be ruined because I had to pay for something I didn't know about. Let's let them know those things. So it's not, we're not hiding the scary stuff. We're letting you know. So then instead of it being something that upsets you, it's something that lets you go, oh, I knew not to fall for that. So we really focus on honest travel. And that's one thing that's always been a part of me is just I want to help people. And that's why I teach and I love helping my students. I love helping people with their travels, anything I can do to help them out. That's something that's really ingrained in me. And I've tried to do that with our family because we travel around the world with the kids all the time, my wife. And I don't know, that's kind of what drives me to do this, just to help people travel better. And we've been very lucky that over the, 13 years of Walter's World now, we've been able to help like over 200 million views. I think later this week we'll be at 900,000 subscribers. So it's been fun to be able to help so many people.
That's a key thing you've also said there, helping. So we'll come on to why you want to help, why you felt as though there was a need to help people. Now, tell us how you actually fell in love with traveling.
I think the travel thing, you know how people talk about there's like little seeds people plant in your mind when you're young? I remember my grandfather, he had retired, so he was traveling around the U.S., and he would send my brother and I postcards all over the U.S., And I'm like, oh, this is, I mean, at the time, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Grandpa wrote us. I read his postcard, looked at the picture. I'm like, that's pretty. And it was one of those things like, well, Grandpa's traveling all the time. And then my dad, he was, the company he worked for, he was like the head of Mexico. So he'd go to Mexico 2 weeks every month. And then he was the head of South Korea. So he was gone. So there's always kind of this international vibe. And little things like that, like put that seed in me to be like, hey, you know what? This travel thing could be kind of cool. So what really got me was I met a girl from South Africa. And she was an exchange student in my high school. And I just, like, we're talking, like, randomly bumped into her in the hallway after school. Like, I missed the bus. And so I'm waiting for my mom to pick me up, like, that kind of random. And she's like, you know, you should really try this study abroad thing. I'm like, study abroad? She's like, yeah, you go live someplace? I'm like, I don't know. That's something for me. And she's like, don't worry. There's actually some that are only, like, you know, for a few weeks of the summer. And you can do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I tried that. And fell in love. Like, that was it. I was like, it was over. I'm like, I'm traveling as much as I can. And I was 16, I think, when that happened. And I've been literally nonstop since then. So we're looking at almost 30 years of continuous travel because it's just like these little things got me going. And it was just, you know, it's like a crazy addiction, but it's been fun because I got to see the world, show the kids, my kids the world, but also help other people enjoy the world. So
you got bitten very early. 16 yeah. is quite a young age. And when you would travel, when you went across and studied, at that age, where was it, by the way, and what was the culture like for you? Was it the culture that got you, or what was it that hooked you initially?
I think it was the differentness, the newness, but the similarity. It's, you know, like when I was in high school, I studied abroad in Australia first, and then I studied in Finland. And Australia was for a summer, and Finland was for a year. And you know, it was one of those things you start to see, like, hey, there's a lot of things in similar. Like, we all like to go places, like my buddies and I, like I never played rugby before. I never played Australian rules football before. And they're like, let's go play. And so I'm learning all these games, like ring ball, or I think it's like this Australian sport. You know, they're like, oh, it's only women play this. But like, since I was an exchange student, I got to go to the women's gym class to play ring ball just to see how it was. You know, I'm like, this is kind of cool. And so it was like that kind of curiosity in me was really like, this is kind of cool. I want to see what other people do. I want to see what other people do. And so that really kind of really sparked me right there. And that's one of those things that really got me to want to do it again and again. So I did, you know, twice in high school, twice in college, did my master's abroad, my PhD abroad, worked abroad a number of times. So
you actually did a lot of your training for your, I guess, your profession now, a lot of it abroad. When you moved across to teaching hours and working as a professor, because I know in the US, the corporate world, or mainly a lot of people who work in offices, usually maximum vacation time is usually 2 weeks, isn't it? So what's it like with the vacation time with as a professor?
The 2 weeks is when you first come out. You know, once you've been working for a while, like my dad, when he retired, he had like a month of vacation time. So you earn it as you go. That's why it entices people to stay. So that's one of those misnomers, but it is. When you first start up, you don't have much, which is actually one of the reasons why we started Walter's World, because my friends had like 10 days of vacation and they were wasting their vacation because guidebooks and blogs were like over fluffing it. But that's another thing. The thing as a professor, like I get winter breaks. So I get a month off in the winter and I get summer breaks, which is like two and a half months in the summer. So I know we're always going for those. And then we have spring break for another week here and fall break and another week there. So there's always time. Right. Mm-hmm. There's always like, and I can plan it out. Like, for example, this summer, you know, my kids, I'm done like May 5th with my classes, but my kids go till basically June 1st. Okay. So what I'll do is, okay, the kids aren't going to be here. I'm going to go travel for a couple weeks and go film. And so like this year I was in Lithuania, Finland, Netherlands, and Denmark filming while the kids were in school. And then once they got out of school, we met in Italy and we stayed there and traveled together. And that way I can get more stuff covered and then spend time with the family. And so that's one thing. And then sometimes, like some semesters, I only teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays because it's college or university courses. So, you know, it'll be full days for those. But then it'll be, you know, sometimes you take that night flight out Thursday night, you get someplace Friday morning, you're there until Monday night. And there's been times where I've flown back and I landed in Indianapolis, which is like a 2-hour drive from here. Landed the 6 a.m. flight, got in the car, and drove straight to work.
The dedication still is behind your travel, your enthusiasm and love for travel. Obviously, I'm not saying you're not taking the job seriously, but the job that you have is there to sort of fund your lifestyle, which is, and also, by the way, I say fund your lifestyle. Walter's World, which we'll come into now, it seems as though it's actually doing very well. Yeah. And you almost could go full time on this if you wanted to, but is there a reason why you haven't actually? And how did it all start then?
Basically, I made hobby videos because I saw people getting ripped off in travel, and I'm like, this isn't right. You know, guidebooks, and you could tell, like, I could read blogs and I could read, you know, guidebooks. You could tell who got money. For me, I don't separate the travel and the education because for me, they're the same because I'm all about educating people. And so I'll bring in examples from my travels in my classroom. But also use some of my classroom and marketing stuff I see, and it helps me understand some of the cultures I go to. And I know some people ask, like, does it hurt your teaching? I'm like, well, actually, I was named one of the top 50 undergraduate business professors in the world, like a couple of years ago. So, like, no, it's not. I'm super passionate about teaching. I'm super passionate about travel, and I'm super passionate about my family. And I've been lucky enough to have all these together. And so that kind of pushes me to go. And one thing I tell my students, I'm like, look, the first day you come to class, my job is to get you ready for the real world. If I don't get you ready for the real world, I have failed you. And some students are like, no, don't give me enough. I'm like, no. I failed you as an educator, someone that's supposed to be a guide for you. And that's the same kind of feeling I have with my videos. I'm like, look, if I mess up, someone could get hurt. Someone could go to the wrong place. Someone had a bad vacation. You know, this thing, guys. And that all together drives me. And that's why, like, people have asked me before, why don't you just do Walter's World full time? And I honestly, I already do it full time because I work on these things all the time, especially in the summer when I'm not teaching any classes. You know, every night I'll be up till midnight writing scripts, you know, editing videos, putting things together, you know, because we have Walter's World. We've got Walter's World Eats, which is our food channel. We got Walter's World Shorts, which are those little short videos, right? And then we've got Professor Walter's, which I have my marketing and social media training videos on. Then we've got the TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter that all goes through. So we're working through all those things. Then the website with the blogs. And so it's like two full-time jobs. But the thing is, I wouldn't want to stop either. You know, people say, it's like, what? There's this, like, what's the money amount that you would, like, leave everything? I'm like, There is no amount. Because even if I won the lottery, I still would want to teach. And if I won the lottery, I'd still want to do the travel thing.
Just wanted to interject and sort of ask you. So did you know, you don't feel as though it hinders either of your job? Both of them complement one another. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, they complement each other. And the thing is, it's about making choices. Like, I'm not going to go... Like, for example, people sometimes get upset with us, like, why haven't you done Southeast Asia? Why haven't you done India yet? I'm like, well, the time frame I need to really, I mean, I want to spend a month in India, but when I have over a month of time is usually the summer. And I don't really want to go to India in the middle of July.
When it's hot.
It's really hot. Yeah. Or like going to the Philippines. I want to go there. But when I have time is when it's monsoon season. And you're like, that's not really where you want to go. So it's kind of figuring these things out. Like, I know our India trip, we're planning for kind of like Christmas time to go, where it's not when it's not so hot, because then, you know, the kids have a few weeks off of school. We can kind of fudge it with their school, you know, a little bit, and be like, hey, they're gonna miss the Christmas party. Is that okay? And then, you know, and then that first few days back at school anyway, after the break, like, nobody does anything. So it's like, okay, we can kind of fudge the numbers, because like going there, I want to take my kids, right? And so that's one of those things. But that's one of the hindering things is the scheduling. But
yeah,
like, it's also a mental thing. Like, people will find excuses to blame things on anything. And I'm like, no, I don't find work something to hinder me. And I don't see Walter's World being something that hinders my teaching. I think they're just things that complement each other. And you work to make that happen. So, and sometimes it sacrifices. Like, there's places we haven't gone to yet, just because, like I said, it just doesn't fit in. And I'd love to.
And it's time management as well. So if you can manage your time accordingly, you can do anything. I've noticed anyway with myself, I have got a lot on myself, but if you manage your time, if you've got a schedule that you know you can follow, then anything's possible. I think that's the key thing to it. With everything that you're doing, especially with the YouTube stuff from what I've seen, one thing is to start off a channel. One thing is to start off a blog or your socials, but to make it successful, how have you managed to generate so much successful views, followers, subscribers? What's the trick to it, really?
Yeah, well, one, there's no trick. It's a lot of hard work. And I think one thing, a lot of people, I saw this with podcasts, you know, I saw this on, you know, YouTube. You know, when the pandemic hit, a lot of people just said, oh, I'll make a podcast. I'll make a YouTube channel. And I'm going to make money on this. This is going to be my side hustle. I'm like, you have to realize, it takes time to get that side hustle to make money, like a podcast. You didn't have millions of views on the first view, right? No, but over time, and you consistently deliver really good interviews about travel. I mean, that's when you're delivering that again and again, you're building up your brand. You're building up that promise of your brand that, look, if you watch one of our travel videos, you're going to get honest advice without the BS. And yeah, it's not going to be flashy, but it's going to be educational and you're going to be better prepared. And they know that. So we have people, they don't subscribe to us, but what they do is they're like, hey, I'm going to Berlin this weekend. I'm going to watch your, you know, five videos on Berlin, so I'm ready to go, and that's it. And then when I go on vacation next year, when I go to Jamaica, I'm going to look up Jamaica and you, and then I'll watch that. And they just watch for those things because they're not watching. Like, I have a video that came out this week, the basics of Finnish for tourists. They're like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to watch that. There's no reason to subscribe, and I'm okay with that. But there's people that come back specifically for those things. And when you start making content that my thing isn't made for, quote unquote, subscribers that watch every day, mine is made for the people that are going to travel to that specific destination. Mm-hmm. And you keep delivering on that promise again and again, people realize that. You know, I mean, we're not going to get any viral hits because I'm, you know, my dance routine is really good, or my flowy dress is amazing, or my floppy hat kind of stuff, which is cool. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, people make beautiful pictures and beautiful videos. And I wish I was coordinated to a dance routine, you know, but I'm not. And I think that consistency, again, because we've been doing this for 13 years, you know, and
that's the key, really. Consistency and perseverance is what gets you to where you are. Because if you're not doing any of that, and I think that's where your viewers will probably see it. This guy's gone through, and you can see he's very, very consistent in what he's doing, and the message is always very similar. He's trying to help people out, and I think that's what, when watching your stuff anyway, I can see there's that message coming through every single time, and there's that consistency throughout your videos. I think
once you watch a few of our videos, you understand the gist of it, the basic, you know, breakdown. You're like, okay, this is going to help me for my next trip, and then you're going to come back. And then what I love is when people watch our videos for their hometown and they're like, this is actually right. Like, now I trust your stuff even more because I know you knew stuff on my hometown. And so that's one of those nice, like, reaffirmation things for me, but also for them. But I also think you were talking about the persistence. Like, this is not an overnight thing. Like, that's the biggest thing. People think, oh, I'm going to put out a video that's funny and it's going to get a million views. I'm like, no, it's going to get 10. Don't think you know what's going to do great. I've had videos I thought would be great videos. They did absolutely nothing. And videos I'm like, how the heck? Why has this one got 500,000 views? I don't understand.
So when you go to all these places, are you going to some of the places to travel to conscious of your content, or are you going because you want to go there and visit it? Is it purely you're going on the basis you want to go there yourself, and then I'm going to make the content whilst I'm there?
It depends. Actually, we do a little bit of everything. Like, there's places that I want to go, or my wife wants to go, or we let our kids choose. So, you know, before COVID, each of the kids got to choose one destination a year. You know, so we go for that. But also, we let our fans choose a destination every year. And then there's places we want to go. And it could be like, I don't know, we're going to Brazil. You know, and there's like, we're trying to decide which part of Brazil to go to. Then we might let our fans vote and we'll base it on that. And then sometimes, like, before the Olympics in Brazil and the World Cup in Brazil, there was so much bad press about Brazil. It was like if you go there, you're going to get Zika. And you're going to get killed, and then they're going to rob you after you're killed, and they're going to make you a zombie, and then they're going to rob you again. And I'm like, I got so upset with it. I'm like, yes, Rio has problems. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But it's not that bad everywhere in Brazil. So we specifically went to Brazil before the Olympics and filmed a bunch of stuff to show people you can go to places around Brazil and enjoy yourself, but you're not going to wear your bling when you're going around. Don't wear your gold watch and gold rings, because that's just not a good idea. I mean, I lived in Brazil, okay? I've never been robbed there, and I don't fit in like a Brazilian, right? And so I'm like, look, you can do it and not have problems, but people don't always do that because, of course, you know, that's why we always say the don'ts of travel. It's more the do's and don'ts in our videos, but people like the negative angle for it because it sells. And so you see that, and it's kind of sad. But for me, it really is a combination of things. And sometimes it's like, hey, this is an up-and-coming place. We probably should go there. Like, we went to Iceland in 2015. Because we saw that a lot of people were starting to go there. Like, hey, you know, I kind of want to go. That'd be kind of cool. It looks cool. Let's do it. So it's kind of like a combination.
What is it about your videos? I know you've talked about helping people out. Because it's generated so many subscribers, so many views, what is it that makes it unique? Because one of the things you've said, and one of the things we spoke about before I brought you on, was people told you you couldn't make it because you were fat. Those were your words, by the way, not mine. But
no, it's okay.
What is it? What's so unique about your channel that attracts people to subscribe and revisit your channel on a weekly basis?
I think it's the old, is it somebody I want to sit down and have a beer with? You know, like I try to be very friendly, because this is one thing. We will meet our fans in real life and they're like, wow, you're just like you are in the videos. I'm like, yeah, it's too hard to be fake. Like, I don't understand YouTubers that can be so fake, like one thing and then the person they're so different, which is actually a lot more common than you think. And I'm like, wow, that wasn't what I was expecting. But I'm like, it's too hard to be this somebody else. So if you and I met now for a beer, this would be the same conversation, you know? But I think it's more of it seemed like an everyday dude. You know, you're obviously trying to help me. You're not trying to rip me off. You're not whatever. I mean, I really think it's just hey, you're just like a normal guy. You're not, you know, I'm not in shape. I'm not sexy. I'm not doing this for, you know, to pump up my ego. It's just me trying to help. And I think that's what's come through. And that's one thing is my friends, when they were, we were talking about this, my friend, one of the ones that was like, you know, you can't beat those people in the bikinis and the buff guys and stuff like that. I'm like, well, I can't beat them in looks, but I can beat them in helpfulness. And the thing is, you look at what's useful for people. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's nice to see them do their backflips and wear their hat, and those things are great and they're fun. But you're like, if I'm on vacation, I need to know what I need to know. So this fat, bald, old dude is actually giving me some good stuff to help me have a better trip with my family. I'll listen to him.
I've had people comment when I've met them in real life and said, you're exactly what we've seen on your videos. And I try to do exactly the same thing. Try not to pretend, I think that's really, really important. I think that's where people engage with you. And that's how a lot of people have reached out to me as well, because they see that authenticity. I think that's really, really important for any brand that you put out, because your story is what they buy into. We were talking off air before we came on. You're talking about those bikini people or people with the big bodies or whatever. A lot of those people we were talking have gone. They were sort of like a flash in the pan. Perhaps maybe and this is probably what makes you stand out. You had a business plan. You knew what you wanted, your long-term goals. You had a vision for where you wanted to go. Perhaps those influencers didn't have that, and they were sort of in it for the short term or didn't realize what they were doing.
I think part of it's that. I mean, part of it is, I mean, doing YouTube, doing social media, it can be, I mean, you run your podcast, you know, it can wear you out after a while. And thing is doing the travel influencer stuff, eventually you're like, a lot of people are like, you know, there's not always a ton of money in it. Mm-hmm. So you can't pay the bills. And it's easy to do when you're young and it's just you. But for me, everything I do, it's me, wife, oldest son, youngest son, dog. I'm like, that's a whole family I got to support. But also, you're right, with the, in terms of the long-term goals, like when I first started, try different videos, try different things, see what works, see what resonates with audiences. Because I used to do like top 10 sites to see in places. I thought those would be popular. No one watched them. I made videos on learning languages. Like I did learning English for Italians, Spanish, Portuguese, and German. The only one that actually got lots of views was learning English for Germans. So then I made learning Spanish for Germans, learning Portuguese for Germans, learning Italian for Germans. And those videos actually did something. All the videos I did for Italian speakers to learn English, Spanish, Portuguese, or German, nobody watched. You know, I realized like, even though Italians probably need to learn more, they don't want to. So there's no point in making that content. And so that made it easier for me to focus. And then over time, I started to see that it was the honest travels that people really like, the five of them hates you going to a destination, the culture shocks you're going to have, the don'ts of going there, that really resonated with people. And we focused on that. And so it was a conscious thing. It's like, let's see what people want. Let's deliver on that. I mean, it takes time. And part of that is sometimes I think some of these short-term creators, they get in like, hey, I'm going to pay for my travels and have fun with this. But then they're like, okay, how many more times can I create some kind of drama? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, how is there so much drama in the Real Housewives of London or the Real Housewives of Hollywood? You know, I mean, is there really that much drama?
From what I've seen, you're doing it for 13 years. That's longevity. So reinventing yourself constantly is really, really important. And I'm sure once your kids get older, I'm sure you want to still carry this on. They may not be featuring on your channel as much. You have to reinvent yourself again. And that's the key to it.
And I think this is one thing I tell everybody that starts. I'm like, just be yourself. Like, be who you are, because that's, you're always going to be you. You know, if you play a character, it's like actors might be a character for 10 years. And they're like, I get typecast as this kind of character. But that's not who I am. That's how everybody sees you. And it's hard for them to break away. That's why, like, just be yourself. Like, that's why certain actors kind of play themselves in every role. You're like, oh, that's Brad Pitt being Brad Pitt. That's Johnny Depp being Johnny Depp. You know, then you kind of, people have their kind of cult followings because that's who they are, you know, and just be who you are.
What would you say is the most challenging aspect of being a professor and being a YouTube sensation?
The toughest part is the time. That is one thing. Because I used to do all of my editing, everything until, I don't know, a couple of years ago, then I started hiring out like the basic edits down to like chop up the video, and then I would put the pictures over top. And only recently, like the last not even year, I've had it so my editors actually put some of the pictures and the videos over the top of me talking. But it's still, I still afterwards I have to be like, yeah, that's wrong, and I have to change stuff. But it's like having, like finally getting people to help me with stuff took a lot off my plate. Because like editing the videos would take me 6 hours. When they do that work for me, the editing on my side is only like 45 minutes, an hour. You know, so it's like, oh, hey. That's an extra 5 hours, and we do 3 videos a week on various channels, or 4 videos a week on various channels. That's a lot of time. Like, I have another day free. You know, it's one of those things I wish I would have realized this and taken advantage of this earlier, like my kids were really little. But when my kids were little, they would sleep, and so I would just, we put them down to bed, and then I go to work. You know, it's like a lot of families. So you can't just have one job. You got to have multiple jobs to pay the bills, you know? And so a lot of times, mom puts kids down and goes to work, you know? And, you put the kids down, I go back to my other job.
Built a team around you now. That's the key to what you're doing right now. I think that's a really, really important factor for any creators. Having a good team around you who can support you in terms of editing or filming. Do you actually film yourself, or do you have someone there filming with you?
Pretty much every single one of my videos. If I'm standing there and you see my hands, this is how it is. It's me. Then about 4 feet in front of me is a tripod with a camera on top. And then I have my script book, which is like this, and it's clipped onto the tripod. That's all it is. The people I have editing team that helps me out, they send my stuff off to. I've got PR people that help me find fantastic podcasts out there to work with. And then I have a person that helps me with my website.
Having a team, but having a good team around you is really, really vital to your success, because if it's causing you more headaches, as a creator, people don't realize how much work that goes into it. Yes. What other aspirations do you have? Do you want to continue doing what you're doing right now?
Right now, yeah. Keep with the videos, the YouTube stuff. That's going to keep going. One time we were, because we did interview for a couple of TV shows a few years ago to start that. But, with COVID, everything just went shh. And then, a lot of the travel networks aren't doing a lot of travel stuff. It's more like zombie hunters or, ghost hunting or whatever, at least in the U.S. one. So my dream of a TV show on PBS, which is public broadcasting, that's been our dream. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I wish it would, but I don't think it will, because I have friends that actually have their own shows. And they're like, yeah, we're doing like 15 episodes a year. Like 15 episodes a year. Like, we're doing 100, 150 episodes. And, and they're 15-minute clips. So that's 75 episodes that we're doing on a shoestring budget. And I'm like, how many hoops you have to jump through? And I remember we got to the point with one company, we were looking at contracts, and I was just like, that's it. Like, I can't feed my family on that. So it was very interesting to learn. Like, that's why you'll see like the 3-year thing on a lot of like the Home and Garden or Travel Channel, not Travel Channels, but like, you'll see they're like people, you'll see them for 3 years, they disappear because they signed that original 3-year contract, which is like, hey, I'm going to be on TV, but then they know, fourth year, I want to get more money. Oh, go away. There's someone else that'll work here for next to nothing for 3 years. Right. It's the intern problem, kind of. It'd be better just staying where we are doing this, because we're probably going to help more people doing this than we would on a TV show, to be honest. You have to keep doing what you're doing. So a lot of those people that you see on TV, on those reality shows, they don't quit their day job. Like, right. They still have to, like, the renovators are still renovating other houses because they need to make the money. Because the TV show is like, it's a glorified commercial, kind of, and it brings people to that platform. So you need to have something, whether it's books or services or something that they're buying from you as well. That would be something there. So like, if we had a TV show, then yes, we would have the merchandise. We'd have buy our DVDs or stream our content on this. Like, would there be more stuff out there?
What would you do differently on TV that you don't do right now?
For me, it's like, I'm putting the camera there. I'm thinking I'm in the right place. I'll mess up occasionally, or I might say the wrong word. Like, I was doing one on, I did a video on Finland, and I was watching the edit. I'm like, I said, it's great to go skiing in the summer. Having someone like, dude, no, that's wrong. Or someone that would be like, a real director, real producer, a camera person. So instead of me standing there like this, talking and putting B-roll over, we could be going around doing things. And that would free up a lot of the restrictions. Because when I film, it's like, I got to find a place that's relatively quiet. I got to find a place that I can film it. I got to find a place that's not going to have a bunch of people going by. So it limits what I can do. But if you have that crew, you can be walking, have the nice mics and stuff like that. And you can be in a crowd of 1,000 people and they can hear you just fine. Uh-huh. Whereas with what I do, I couldn't do that. And it's funny you say that. So what would you do different? That was actually the head of the Travel Channel said, we are not going to do anything on the Travel Channel that you can find on YouTube, or online, basically. So it's like, all right, that's good to know. So their thing's going to be something completely different. And that's why I've seen more travel shows actually popping up on like Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that are made for Netflix, let's say, than I'm seeing for new stuff on Travel Channel that's really travel-based.
I've seen a few travel shows on the streaming platform. It could be a bit of a game changer, because you don't necessarily have to cater towards a network where they want certain types of content. So you can make the show, because I've got a friend actually who's in television about to do a pilot, and then they're going to pitch it to one of the streaming platforms because it's a better way to sell your work than go to a network and then they'll say, right, we need this. So there's restrictions behind it, especially someone like PBS, for example, as you mentioned before, there's a certain demographic that you can only put it out to. When I've seen your stuff, very well done, very professionally cut. Did you go to school? Did you have any learning behind it? Or?
I was in the Quincy Community Little Theater Children's Productions when I was in middle school. That's the extent of my training with theater and theatrics and stuff. Presentation stuff is something I learned when I was really little, and I've always been a very outgoing person, so it kind of went with it.
Everything is a performance. Your hand gestures, the way you look at the camera, how you present yourself. You might be telling something quite factual or well, in terms of travel anyway, but it is all a performance at the end of the day. So how you deliver that is really, really important.
And I will say one thing, anybody that wants to do YouTube, like comments can be really hard. Like, and to be people who just want to be mean sometimes, but sometimes you actually will get like constructive criticism, you know, like the slowdown for me, I was getting too fast, or my audio was not the best when I first started, because I just literally would take a little Nikon Coolpix camera and stick it on a rock and then film, right? And so it's like, you know, you can learn. And that's one thing, is some people are like, oh, I'm fine as I am. Like, no, you can get better.
You can get better all the time. Everything that you do, you can improve every single time. And by the way, one of the things you were saying, comment, I think that is part and parcel of being part of them. You're part of your own media. You're going to get comments where it could be constructive or it could be a bit of hate, but that's part of it. So one of the things we learned when I was doing my training was you have to be okay with that. You have to block it out, and then it's part of the, because you can't expect praise every single time, because that's not how it works. Think of it as your critics in some respects. People are going to say, this is fantastic. Oh, this is rubbish. That's the way it is. And that's, you have to, so you have to live by the sword. So it is what it is. That's part of being in the media.
Criticism thing, and this is for people that want to do travel blog, any kind of blogs or videos or YouTube. You, like you said, you got to be ready for that, because a lot of people like have come to, I've talked to a lot of people to help them start with their YouTube channels and stuff, and it'll be like little channels and stuff, and they're very happy to do it. But I tell them, like, look, like once you start working with people, you can understand if they're very sensitive or not. I'm like, look, you might not want to turn the comments off. Like, you might not think your friends are watching, it's fine. But once you get to a certain point, like once you get to about, or that, you know, like 1,000 subs, you start showing up a little bit more. And then you get that random jerk who like watches 5 year videos and you just like what says horrible things about your wife or you or whatever. And we've had some people that were fans of ours that started to put out videos. And I was like, you know, you warn them and then it hits and they're like, you know, they're like, they take everything down. They're like, oh, they said I was bad. I'm like, look, don't listen to the haters. But, you know, just maybe don't turn the comments on. If you just want to have the videos out there, to have the videos out there, have the videos out there. It's your family, share with your family, do that. But turn off the comments or make it unlisted so you can only share with certain friends. Because I've seen some people that are really devastated by some of those comments. And I'm like, you can't let them, you can't let the bad guys, you can't let the trolls troll, right? Don't let them ruin your day, because that's what they want to do. And some people, it's very sensitive. Even me sometimes, like we've had death threats. We've had people threatening my kids and my wife, all kinds of stuff. You know, but it's weird, like, you know, like whatever. But then sometimes it'll be like somebody comment, you don't know anything about this. And I'm like, USO, you know, you're like, I live there, I know this, I specifically did these things. And it'll be something weird like that that'll like upset you, you know?
Mentally, you have to be prepared for anything. So if you're not mentally right, then there are people that can help you with that. So there's mentors to help you with. I'm a big believer in mentors. So having people talk you through things, that's really, really key. Where are your most viewers from? Are they from America?
Most are from the US. It's usually about 55-60% from the US, which is weird because when we first started, the US was like only like 10%. It's only like when we started to really grow is when the US market started to grow with us. But at the beginning, it was Germany was our biggest market. So that's why I was making all those German language videos for language videos for Germans. That actually got us going. That was our first biggest group. Now they're like a very small percentage, but that was our first big group was the Germans. But now it's mostly US, you know, 55-60% depending on the month. Oddly enough, you'd think that most of the viewers would be like older people like myself, but no, like our main demographic is that like 25 to 35. That's our biggest individual one if you break it in 10-year groups. So it's interesting. I'm like, huh, the teacher writes me. It's like, hey, could you talk about travel or the world with our students? I'm like, yes, I'll do it. I'll just do it. And so I did it for my hometown. But a while back, he's like, oh yeah, and the kid's like going out. It's like, cause my son had a Walter's World mug drinking from his son. He's like, oh, do you know that channel? The guy's like, he's like, yeah, it's my dad's. He's like, oh, we watch his stuff in class all the time, you know, because their teachers use that. And it was like really cool. Like, yeah, teachers show that to their students in class. So we have a whole group of like middle school kids that grew up with Walter's World videos during the pandemic that they use to like learn about different destinations.
That's so pretty amazing.
That's also another thing is I always try to keep it family friendly, you know, because I know there are teachers that use that, you know, which is weird because sometimes I'm like, I can't talk about the food of Germany without talking about beer, you know? Mm. And a lot of teachers are like, hey, that's part of the thing. So that's why I try to put the beer like at the end so the teacher can get through the first 10 minutes. Like, okay, we're going to stop here. So
is there any place that you haven't been to that you want to explore and tell people how to travel there?
Israel is one place I've wanted to go, and we've tried to go twice, and the COVID kind of got both of those. Egypt's a place that I've wanted to go forever, but again, it's like whenever I'm really considering a trip there, something happens, we can't do it, so there's that. So Israel, Egypt, and then Bhutan. Those are three places that I really want to get to that I have not been to yet. And I think one place I would really like people to visit, they haven't gone, is Rwanda. Rwanda is fantastic. Oh. We love Rwanda. And most people, when they think of Rwanda, they only think of the genocide from 27, 28 mm-hmm, years ago. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize, like, look, it's an incredible place, but people are so scared because the genocide, they don't go. But Rwanda is probably one of the most impactful, best trips we've had as a family.
Interviewing quite a lot of people over the last few years, and probably the most enthusiastic person I've interviewed. So it's been great chatting to you. Before I let you go, just tell everyone those handles and where they can find you.
If you want to find us on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, it's all Wolters World, WOLTERS, and then World, all together, and you'll find us. If you're not sure what to look for, just go on YouTube and put in the don'ts and insert a country around the world, and we'll probably pop up.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I get to see you on one of these travels.
And don't forget, when you get that TV show, I'm coming on.
That's a promise. Thank you.
That's it for Take a Wonder with Shebs. Don't forget to follow me on all of my social media platforms. Until next time, bye for now.